Hi, and welcome to another episode of China on the Rocks, the podcast where we talk about the food and beverage industry and everything in between. I am your Hawaiian shirt wearing host, Logan, and I'm joined by my always cool, always funny, I can't tell what her shirt is, host.
Hi guys, Anna here.
I almost said her name first. So guys, yeah. Oh, it's a Cowboy Bebop shirt.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought you were going to say my name, so yeah. I was waiting.
I was trying not to. So guys, we are in the weeds a little bit. If you're an F&B, you know what that means. We've got a big prep for Feast coming up. So we'll be booth buddies at Feast starting tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday in Sinead Mansions. And it's going to be a blast. We've been doing math all day, trying to figure out what we need to achieve.
Making the pre-batches, stressing over it. But we're really excited. We have a lot of awesome frozen drinks because it's hot. It's summer. We have a lot of cool cocktails. So if you are in Shanghai, come say hi. We're next to each other in the High Seas booth and the Takalicious booth. So come hang out.
Yeah, I like that. If you're in Shanghai, come say hi. That's the move. So, Anna, what are we drinking today?
I don't know, Logan. Apparently, we're drinking something very, very special.
So, as I said on this podcast, I wanted us to have a different drink every episode for this season. So, I went a bit bougie. A little bit fun.
A little overpriced.
A little bit of Louis Trey in your cup.
Yeah, maybe.
So, we Cheers. Are drinking Louis Trey.
Not as a shot, guys, because then it'd be disrespectful.
I drink it as a shot. So Louis Trey, if you don't know, is a cognac. It's stupidly priced. The Murphy's Law from Cocktails and Dreams in probably the best bartending and only bartending movie ever.
Did I say my horror story related to...
To Louis Trey?
Yeah.
Do you want to save it for the horror story?
I'll tell you the horror story, guys, but I have a good one. I actually have a good one.
we actually have a format for this one. This is our pitter-patter.
It's a pitter-patter. I know. I just realized I'm going to forget. So, Logan, if we're doing the pitter-patter, what are we talking about today?
So, we wanted to talk about health in the F&B industry and how important it is for everybody. There's a lot of people that get burnout here. There's a lot of people that just maybe mental health, maybe physical health, too much drinking, too much Louis Trey, just... We want to make sure we talk about something that's very important. I think it goes unnoticed a lot in our field.
Yeah, I think we are in this dangerous combination of an industry that revolves around sleeping badly.
Yeah.
Drinking badly. Probably excessively. Yeah. We are always in a hurry, always eating, standing up over a trash can in the kitchen, or we are running around. So I think we don't necessarily eat like the most healthily. And because it is a physical job, we tend to get really tired, so it becomes quite hard to actually motivate to have a workout, like in general, right? Because we are walking around on our feet and all that. So body aches and everything. So if you think about it, it's all basically made for us to develop either health issues or mental health issues, because it's highly connected to how your body feels.
Yeah, I feel like if I'm doing a long shift, I am on stage.
Same. Yeah.
Right. And technically you are. And I tell my staff that always make sure you smile, always make sure you present very well. And then at the same time, that's mentally exhausting. And that's fair for all my brothers and sisters in this field. Right. I know from my personal experience, when I was working at nightclubs, I would work from 8 p.m. till 6 or 7 a.m. And then me and the squad would go out, get home by like 10 or 11 a.m., sleep it off, and then repeat. And that's not a way to live.
I had, when I worked in nightclubs, a similar routine, but I didn't go out. We usually just went for food at like 7 a.m. and then ended up going to bed at like 10. And it's so exhausting and so mentally draining. I remember just being really like on edge a lot. Like, you drop a fork, you start crying. Yeah, you don't know why.
Like, I eat terribly when I eat. Like, I have to practice not standing and eating as fast as possible.
Same, yeah.
Because I'm not enjoying it. I'm just, like, scarfing it down. Even if I'm at home, I'm like, oh, okay, I don't have to be as fast as this. You know, I could take enjoyment from this. Because food is supposed to be fun, right?
I find that connection with food now by cooking a lot. So I meal prep. Which, by the way, anybody at home that has a really busy schedule, in the beginning, it's a little painful to do. but take one of your days off or take like an afternoon off and meal prep, cook for the entire week and have it all ready, because not... So yeah, it saves you so much time not having to worry about what you're going to eat. It's also, you can make it really healthy. You can really like control your macros, and you can make really awesome stuff. Like I make a really like different curries, different noodles, different all sorts of foods. And I just microwave and I make breakfast burritos, and it's just so convenient, and you can actually like eat good food. So, and with time you get faster at prepping as well.
See, and for me, I naturally have six packs for days. So I look like a silverback gorilla. But that's also, all joking aside, like I make sure unless I'm busy, I make sure I go to the gym four or five times a week, because I think that's very good for people in the F&B industry to disconnect from your phone, from something like anything else than just working on yourself, which we need. You know, you can't be awesome all the time and then, you know, fall apart.
I also noticed that we all start in this career quite young. I think most people start when they're like in their 18, depending on which country you're at, or 21. And what happens is in the beginning, we are a little bit of superstars.
It goes right to your head.
No, but not even on that sense, but the sense of like we have that... We're rock stars. We'll drink all night and wake up the next day and work a 12-hour shift and we're fine and our bodies can handle and we don't get sick and all that. Like we can maintain that for a while, but then after a certain age, it just becomes unsustainable.
Yeah. That's very much true. Like nobody tells a young person they're going to get tired. They're just going for it, right? And when you're, especially like we said, you're on stage, there's people throwing themselves at you. There's money to be made. You're drinking with all your homies that you just were in the trenches with. Like the best feeling ever is like when you have a shift that was nuts and you guys all came out of it. That's such a great feeling.
Yeah.
But that also is tough because you can't always, you know, you shouldn't always have that feeling because you're so stressed.
Yeah, we do have a lot of if you look at older bartenders or older chefs or older, again, F&B people, we do have a lot of like long-term diseases from like the lifestyle, right?
Yeah. So
really important, exercise, good diet, try to get as much good sleep as you can. So like finish work, go home, drink a sleepy time tea, take a shower, go to bed.
Your night juice.
It became like for a while, I worked nights, but I didn't like, I need to unwind when I got home, right? And
you physically need that time.
So my routine is that when I got home, I used to just like candle lit the bathroom, have like a tea and then take a shower kind of in the dark just with the candles. Because if I am in those really bright lights at that time, I'll be like super awake.
Yeah, because you're overstimulated and your body knows that's what work is.
Yeah. So I'll be like kind of this like candle lit bathroom with a little like serious TV show playing in the background. And I'll take a shower, drink some sleepy time and then go to bed. So at least I can try to avoid staying up for many hours after work.
Yeah. And I think that's a hard... I mean, people need to learn that. Nobody, like, when you first get into bartending or cooking or waiting tables, they're like, oh, you need, you know, a 30-minute downtime because you're giving so much energy to talking to strangers. And then you're like, okay, now nobody's talking to me. My brain's still working.
Yeah. I find that, like, watching shows, they're really serious, like a detective, like, show or something, really helps because my brain just gets really focused and then I'm no longer spiraling everywhere, right? And not drinking helps a lot with sleep quality.
Yeah. But I mean, also, like for me, I can't listen to music too much because it's, that's a weird statement, I know, but like it's work related to me.
Oh my God. You know what's funny? I have the same issue. Like my partner makes fun of me all the time. They're like, oh, you don't listen to music. And I think it's because we work in places that play music all the time. And I always make my playlist. I always play everything that I like. That when I'm at home, I associate music almost like with busyness. So it gives me not a little anxiety, but it's almost like there's somebody talking over me.
Yeah.
When I'm doing stuff at home. So I'm a fan of like podcasts and TV shows. So when I go for runs or for walks, when I go exercise, I listen to podcasts.
Yeah, 100% podcasts. I don't like audiobooks, but I do just because I read too much. Like when I go home, my relaxation, I read a book. And I read on my iPad so I can read in the dark. And I'll read for like 6 hours and I'll finish a book or two.
Oh, wow.
I'm very stupid.
6 hours of reading, that's a lot.
But then I'll finish the book. Like, yeah. I generally, the books I read about 2,000 pages on the iPad, and then I'll finish the book, and then I'll read the next book in the series. Like, I like science fiction and fantasy.
Yeah, me too. But the problem is, there are not that many good ones left for me to read.
Yeah.
So, I keep going on those, like, New York bestseller lists, and I don't find anything that has catched my eye recently, so...
Oh, Brandon Sanderson has some good stuff out.
Oh, yeah, I read a lot of his
stuff. He's got some great stuff. But, I mean, then they take... my mom is actually really funny about this kind of stuff. Not reading, but she won't watch a series till all the shows are out, so she could binge. And I find I'm like that with books. I need to not wait a year or two.
You need,
like,
the series, yeah. Well, yeah, I have books that the third book never came out. Like,
oh, yeah, the reading. Name of the Wind?
Name of the Winds, yeah. If anybody
Fudge
out there...
Fudge you, Patrick Ruthless.
Yeah, Patrick Ruffus?
Hey, I'm going to high-five you, because yeah. We just nerded out.
Just nerded out. Sorry, if anybody
at
home...
I've been friends with Anna for so many years, and we've never nerded out this deep.
Yeah, so The Name of the Wind is a great book, but they released two books, and it gets you really hooked. And the third book has been a promise for over 10 years.
Yeah, he took a Kickstarter, too.
Yeah, and it never happened.
He might be a scumbag.
So we have help.
Gentlemen Bastards, same thing.
Oh, yeah. Lies of Locke Lamora, yeah, and all that. Like, I love. Oh, my God. That's turning to a book podcast.
Hey, you know what? But this is healthy because it's something we do.
Outside of going out and drinking.
Yeah. And we need that. Like, I know when I wake up early in the morning, because I try my best not to be out too late now. Like, my life is different from my nightclub days. So if I'm home by 11 or 12, that's a late night for me. You know, so like if I'm reading a book, I don't mind reading till like 4 or 5 a.m. Totally fine. But I like to be comfortable in my comfy clothes.
Yeah, I have that same thing at home, either reading or playing a video game or watching a good show. The problem is I noticed that, at least for me, my sleep patterns are very important. So I'm trying to work on going to bed earlier. And it's kind of hard when you're used to being a night worker. Yeah. Like when you work at night, like I don't... seem to be able to go to bed before like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m.
Oh, you know, I won't even attempt to go to bed that early. And by the way, do you want some more Louis Trey?
Sure.
So, not to interrupt at all, there's a famous story. There was a ship that got sank, and they found, do you know this? They found like a cachet of Louis Trey actually on the ship.
Oh, wow.
That's why I was saying I wish it was Black Pearl. Like, they found real Louis Trey that was, like, hundreds of years old that aged in casks underwater.
That's so cool.
It was actually pretty cool. We are not drinking that, guys.
We're drinking.
We're just drinking the Louis of the Treys, but we're not drinking, like... So, if you ever seen a bottle of Louis Trey, the neck of the bottle, the actual opening part, what's that called?
The cork?
It's a decanter.
The neck?
Bottle. Yeah, right? There's a term for it.
There's a term, but I can't remember right now. Yeah.
Each one of them fits exactly right. So each bottle is machine precise, and then each bottle neck has an etched number inside the label. So I used to work at a cigar bar called Shanghai 1930.
Nice.
And all we would do was have people pop Louis Trays. But you could shake the bottle. It won't fall apart. Like, obviously, you don't want that to happen. And then even the glass decanter of the bottle is worth like a staggering amount because it's crystal.
Yes, it's a beautiful bottle. It's very ornate.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm drinking it with Diet Coke because I keep it gangster.
Good.
This is the Diet Coke. You can't hear it, but this is Diet Coke I'm drinking right
now. I have actually had a guest that requested with, I think it was ice and soda once, and I was like, really? Really? Are you sure?
No, that keeps it real.
You're paying like hundreds of dollars for this, and you want to like...
I've said this many times before, though. If you earn that money, that's your money. You spend it how it makes you happy.
I think that was his logic. I mean, I served it. I was just... It was unusual to me. Yeah.
No, that's the funnest... I mean, when I used to work at Mint, we used to sell a bottle of Dom Perignon. There was a white label with diamonds on it, and it was 110,000 RMB.
Wow.
And we'd sell that every 3 months. And why do we sell it? Because people want to have a fun time. And that's pretty gangster.
It's funny because I think the champagne inside is the same from the regular bottle.
No, it's a vintage, but it's not like, it's not changing the world champagne. You know what I mean?
Hey, good for them if they can't afford
it. Yeah, exactly. I can't afford it, but good for them. We all have to aspire to something. But for health, if you're a bartender, chef, waiter, runner, anybody in the F&B industry, I aspire you to take every day and just think, what's one thing I could do
to improve my health? Yeah. And pay attention to your mental health. Like, we have extremely high rates of like mental health and suicide and things like this. So if you're struggling with anything, reach out to a homie, look for professionals. Physically, try to do a little exercise outside of the bar throughout the week. It doesn't have to be like every day unless you want to be really fit, but you can do 3 times a week. It's already like good to maintain like a healthy routine. Try to eat fresh.
Yeah. I mean, just take a walk if you have to. Like, if you have to walk to work versus like driving to work, if that's possible. You know, some people have different situations and you might have to drive, especially in the States.
Yeah. And a long term makes a big difference.
Yeah. Or even walk around the block when you're on your shift. Like, let's say the 7:30 part, maybe it's not that busy. Take a walk around the block. Talk to your neighbors. And then, you know what? You've walked for 5 minutes. That's better than walking for 4 minutes.
I used to do squats with, like, kegs.
Did you really?
Yes. I used to use it's like a kettlebell. And just hold the handle of the keg. And
Well, see, for me, like, I could tell you, we've talked to this, like, before. Like, my elbow goes out all the time from shaking too much. And I have, like, bad tennis elbow from bartending for my whole life. So, like, if I did that, I'm just thinking about it. If I did that, I would definitely hurt myself.
Yeah, there was a time that I was really fit and I used to just find random ways to do proper exercise with weights in the bar. And I just remember one time I also got this empty bottles and I filled them up with, I think, like rice or something, and then I taped them to my legs because no one can see my legs. So I had like extra weight on my legs.
No way. I was moving. That's awesome.
So yeah, I always found a way to do like at least like 15 or 20 squats or something like that and stretches throughout my shift. And also, I used to set competition on steps with other people at the bar. So bartenders or other like coworkers. So sometimes at the end of the day, you're just like, oh my God, I got to do 2 loops around the block to catch up to win.
Also, I think when we talk about health, it's our customers are important too. They make our lives worthy in terms of our jobs. So make sure if you have a customer that's there every day just pounding beers and crushing stuff, just say, hey, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to, you know, do something together?
Yeah, it's not your place to basically police his choices, but it's nice to give opportunity. A lot of people that drink daily comes from a place of not having a social community and things to do outside of it. So they go to a bar for, you know, get rid of that loneliness and all that. So if you notice that, yeah, reach out for a walk.
Yeah, reach out. I mean, say, hey, let's hang out. You need the exercise. I need the exercise. Let's have a nice, you know, little, even if it's a 5 minute walk and talk, that's all good. But speaking of health stuff, Anna, I noticed there's a bruise on your arm. What happened?
Oh, okay. That's actually interesting, guys. So here in Shanghai, for anybody that works in F&B, you need to do a specialized catering health check once a year. And that gives you like a certificate that if ever the FDA comes to check, hygiene inspector comes to check, they will check all the employees' tests. And it's basically they do an x-ray of your lungs to basically check if you have tuberculosis or something. I don't know. They do a blood test. They
are
not
a pap smear for some reason.
They're not looking necessarily for like your cholesterol or anything like that. They're looking for possible like diseases and transmittable diseases. And then the one that's why Logan is bringing this up is that they do an anal swab.
I literally was talking about your arm. I don't want to. I literally was not talking about that.
He wanted me to bring up the anal swab. He was waiting for it.
I literally was not. I wouldn't. You have a bruise on your arm from a needle.
So I think they missed my vein or something. And it's like I have a massive purple bruise on my arm from the blood test.
So if you come down to Feast, you'll see Anna and her track marks.
Yeah. It's looking pretty dark. Yeah, pretty gnarly. But
I mean, I think, guys, we want to just talk the segment about being healthy, and health is everybody's journey. So we won't judge anybody's health in different ways, of course. As long as you're happy, as long as you sleep decently, because I sleep like crap. But as long as you're okay, that's what we want at China on the Rocks. Now, Anna, speaking of, it's an Anna episode, I think, today.
I have a couple horror stories related to this episode. Yeah. Okay. So
hit us with the horror story. I'm trying to get better on adding the F&B horror stories to the podcast.
Sorry, yeah, the sound bites are quite hard.
But
F&B.
Gonna count together. All right, so let me tell you guys the horror story. I'm gonna start with the Louis XIII one to make it a little lighter. I was working for a very fancy 5-star hotel, so they will not name. And one of the things that was really annoying is that they had internal hygiene audits every month or sometimes every 2 weeks. It depends. It will surprise you. But they are internal. They are not the health department. They are not, you know, the government.
Hotel, hotel list.
It's part of their own, like, kind of training, kind of like checking on it. It's their own internal thing. And the problem is everything was fine and everything has label and dates. But there is a problem in China, which is the word wine is the same word for wine, like grape wine, and for spirits. But they don't mean the same thing.
Also hotel.
Yeah. So the rule is that wine, and they mean grape wine, can't be open for more than, I think it's a month or 2 months, something like that. It can't be open for more than that, which makes sense because wine will go bad. It will oxidize, right? But spirits, on the other hand, can't be open the whole
years,
time.
Yeah.
Years, right? So the issue is because the word wine is the same, they created this rule where every bottle in the back bar had to be labeled and had to be labeled with the correct date. Now the issue is we are not going to throw away whiskey at the end of the month because it's been open for 30 days. So they told us to cheat their own tests to basically relabel them, make sure they're relabel them. The thing is we had a selection of maybe hundreds of spirits because we were a like bourbon bar with a specialized in whiskey, like large collections. And we spent more time labeling things for this internal audit than sometimes we did prep, right? It was like a daily thing. Now we have a lot of high shelves. One time as internal auditing, one of the hygiene like department girls come and she goes all the way to the top and she finds a bottle of Louis XIII. No, actually not a bottle of Louis XIII. Sorry, I'm mistaken. Ignore the part. She found a bottle, a random bottle. Actually, not on the up shelves, in the bottom shelves. And she said, oh, this bottle, the label was incorrect. It was like too many times. So she wanted to... when you fail on your hygiene, you get like a warning on HR. You're not like doing your job. You get basically like one strike, right? And accidentally, we'll miss a bottle here and there and we get a strike. I was fed up. And bureaucracy is not for me. And I was basically starting to lose my mind a little bit. And I'm not proud of this, guys. I had a little mental breakdown when I got an angry email saying that they were really disappointed with my performance because they were really disappointed at how many labeling and dates incidents were happening at the barn. Just shows a lack of care for hygiene. Because the hotel manager, the hotel like boss, does not know that it's a bottle of whiskey. He thinks maybe it's like a bottle of juice that's expired, right? Which is completely unacceptable.
Yeah.
So I keep getting these red marks on my record for failing hygiene and I was pissed. So what I did is I got the bottle of Louis XIII that, by the way, has been open for years and it had an older label. I go down to the hygiene department. I look at their faces and I say, oh, I got a warning because you say that one of the whiskeys was expired. So I have this bottle of Louis XIII and it looks expired. And then I go and I throw a little bit out of the sink in their office and they start yelling. I'm like, what? We're not going to sell expired products. That's illegal. It's horrible. We can't do that. And then I throw a little bit more and these people are panicking, right? Because I'm throwing hotel money down the drain. But I'm telling her, I don't understand. You gave me a warning saying that I had expired products and like, you know, so what do you want me to do? If it's expired, I should dispose of it, right? And then I'm throwing more Louis XIII. And then she's like, no, just change the label. And I'm like, if I can just change the label to trick you, why do you need to give me a warning that you know I just forgot to change the label, right? She's like, no, it doesn't. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to throw a little bit more. And I kind of did a little psychological terrorism with them. And then I told them that if they ever find a label incorrect for the whiskeys, if they think my policy is necessary, they can tell me and I'll change, but to not put it on my record as warnings anymore. And I won that battle.
Atta girl.
And I also threw like a quarter of a bottle of Louis XIII down the drain.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anna Sousa.
Just out of spite.
Well, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
I was a little unhinged back then.
Oh, I know. I was there.
the psychological terrorist of hotels. And I was just like, I was going to be a little crazy.
Okay, now tell the new one, if you don't mind, the new F&B horror story.
So it happened last night. Guys, I'm still suffering from this. It was my partner's birthday. And we went out with a bunch of friends. We had some drinks. And then one of the people with us, I will not name names, she decided that she wanted to go clubbing, and we thought, you know what? We never go clubbing. We don't know club people. We don't know what's out there, so let's do it. So we got a little lit, and we decided to go to this, is it fancy? Would you call it fancy club? No, like a...
It's a mid-level club.
It's a mid-level club. Like, it's not like... It's the type of place that's fancy enough to have, like, a lot of security, good DJs and all that. It's I guess I want to give this energy that is not a divey club.
It's not divey. I mean, sure, do you want a thug, bottles for the bub.
No, but it's not like a... Because if I go to a place that is, like, really divey of a club, then that story makes more sense.
Yeah.
I want to say, like, it's a respectful club. Like, it's up there. It's, like, middle upper tier. So we get there. We get up the stairs upstairs. And suddenly, I see this girl having a whole argument with this 6'5" bouncer. And I have no idea. The girl that came with us, by the way, our friend, right? She was with us, and then she was arguing. So I thought, oh, maybe there's some disagreement. Maybe something's happening. So I just go over, and I ask the guy, what's going on?
What's going on?
And the guy grabs me by the arm, twists me, and tosses me on the floor, twisting my arm. Like I was being arrested, like a cop kind of thing. And then he restrained me, like, on the floor like that. I mean, for like a second. And then I start yelling. And after I start yelling, the guy told me that I'm not welcome at the club because I was causing a scene after he threw me on the floor. And I was so confused because I have no idea what's going on. And the girl was telling me, like, oh, the reason is because he was angry at me. He wanted to do that to me and he accidentally did it to you. And I'm here thinking, why does he want to do that to you? Why are you okay with that? So turns out that what happened is she had a bag with some leftovers from like dinner, or from a cake, actually, leftover cake for birthday cake.
Yeah, your partner's birthday cake.
Yeah, and like she was caring for us in several like takeaway boxes because we were taking the cake home. And when she got in, the guy...
Birthday cake that you worked on and made.
That I made, correct. Yeah. And basically, the guy said, no outside food, so you can't have the bag here. So she said, okay, fine, and try to give him the bag. And he said, I don't want the bag. So she then throws the bag with the cakes on the floor and say, okay, then tell the cleaner to clean it up.
Rude.
And while this is happening, I have no idea because it's loud. It's a club.
This is an
AITA. I'm old. I can't hear shit. So I just go over at the same time, probably, just being like,
wow.
Oh, what's happening? And I just get clocked. Now, I don't think his reaction is okay or justified. Nothing happened. I was just asking what's going on. But that was, I think everybody's the asshole if this was like Reddit, because I feel like he was being antagonized as well. Like, but, and also, my boyfriend was really upset because he really wanted his cake.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fair. I won't say your boyfriend's name, but it's not, like, I'm sure he wanted birthday cake.
Yeah, today he was all hungover being like, I wanted that cake.
So, I can talk about the Talkalicious 6th anniversary.
Oh, I was here. I saw.
You were here?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I know Oscar Fuchs was here, but I didn't know you were here, Anna.
Oh,
I introduced you to Oscar, I think, right?
You introduced me to a few people, but you were just saying random words at times.
Like, blah, 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 blah.
I can't, guys. I'll give you my perspective. When I came in, Logan just hugged me and said, we've been partying. That's it.
And I'm not a big hugger, so you could tell I don't really generally hug people or touch people too much. And that was, I like Keanu Reeves a lot of stuff.
So, yeah, tell me your perspective. Tell me the story.
I didn't know you were there. I'll be honest with you. Last time I thought I saw you was at Pearl.
No, I was here for hours. I was here until you left.
I left at 9:30, so
I was here a little longer. I was here after you, yeah.
So we have a great photographer who's a friend of ours, who's a friend of the podcast, named Caleb. He took video and pictures. And the night ended with a football team with no shirts on.
Oh, I wasn't here anymore. I don't know.
The night ended with a football team with no shirts on. I think I might have insulted one or two countries. I don't know why.
When I was here, the football team was here, but they were wearing shirts at that point.
Yeah, they were not when I left. Maybe that's why I left. We are still recovering. And I say that the royal we.
Yeah, the royal we. There were some interesting characters. There was a girl that, she was lit. She was lit.
It was, which girl was lit? Do I know? Is her name rhyme with barrel?
No. It's not from our group. I'll tell you later. I'm not gonna.
We don't name anybody.
Yeah, we don't name anybody. But she was lit, and I was eating my dinner, and she realized that the round tables can't spin. So she thought it was really fun to keep spinning my table as I eat. And I just remember, I'm a fake people person, you know. I'm really good with service because it's my job. But yeah. In general, like,
oh no,
I was eating. I'm like, don't. I just remember holding the table and saying, "Can we not?" And she looked at me like so offended, and I was like,
"Yeah." So the 6th anniversary of Tacolicious just happened. That was a blast from the past. That wasn't a health. That was not healthy.
Not healthy at all, but yeah. Delicious.
Yeah. But tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Feast will be a fantastic culinary Epicurean journey. Anna, what you making at the event? Because this is gonna air on Saturday, so technically we could have a listening party.
We are having delicious High Seas Crazy 8 gin and tonics with pineapple, mint to get that really tropical vibe. We're making lemongrass meals, and we're making frozen tiki drinks, frozen Mai Tais, basically.
Yeah. I mean, we're calling. So the frozen tiki drink is going to be a lot of fun. Like, I think it's hard to, like, tell people about, like, frozen tiki drinks till they try them, but I think it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a sucker for a good frozen tiki drink, so.
So if you like this podcast, if you like high fives, if you want maybe some cheeky shots, we will be around. And I think...
Yeah, that's it. So that's like, it. Subscribe, see you guys during this weekend, and if not... I hope you guys listen next week as well.
Yep. We'll talk to you guys soon. Cheers.
Bye.